Hey, so it's good to be back. I was only gone a couple days, so you probably didn't even know I was gone. So I was gone, but I made it back. And the lesson tonight was a little bit long, and that happens sometimes. So I had to fix it and chop some things down. And I chopped it down by, I made the margins narrower, and I reduced it a font size. And before you chuckle too much, I know that that doesn't really make it have fewer words. It just makes me talk faster. So we're going to fit it all in by going with a smaller font. So last week we talked about discipline, and this week we have even a harder topic, I think. It's advice. When do we give advice? When and how do we receive advice? And all of those things. And it can be hard, because discipline, usually we're in some sort of scenario where we have some authority, and so it's really learning a skill. To be able to discipline in an effective way, which we should do all those things. Advice can be a lot harder because sometimes there's solicited advice, there's unsolicited advice, and we could be on either side of that. And once we actually start giving and receiving some advice, there can be barriers to that advice flowing like it should as it goes through a conduit. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. But first, we probably should figure out what we're talking about. What is advice? Okay. Okay. Or not to do. You have to do something to not do something. Something to watch out for. Okay, giving somebody information. Yeah, that'll. Wisdom, yeah. That's tied to it.
Throwing experience into it, hopefully.
Yeah. Yeah, it's teaching. Yeah, all those are related to it. There's nuances where all those are different. And so we can probably go through some of those. But one of the beauties of the American language is we just stole all of our words from other people. So every word has like a little backstory of where it came from. And when we talk about advice, it's an old French word, which means it appears to me. So that's where we get vision, revision, all those kind of viz words, evidence, things like that. And so if we're thinking about that for advice, then it's how you perceive something. Somebody is able to see something maybe that somebody else can't see. And then they're able to communicate, hopefully, what they're able to see that the other person can't see. So it's related to training, wisdom, all those things, but it's probably a little more practical. You're really lending your judgment, discernment that you have to somebody that's in a different situation, hoping that they can use some of your judgment, wisdom, experience, all those things to make a better decision in whatever it is that they're facing. And I tried to think of some examples, and so maybe you can come up with some examples of good and bad advice. And while you're thinking of that, I'll give you two quick ones. Yesterday, whenever I was driving, Apple said, turn right, and it was great. That was good advice. There was an exit there, and so I exited, went on my way, and made it to where I was supposed to be going. This morning, I was driving back to the airport, and Apple said, turn right, but I could see up ahead of me a big sign that said, rental car return left, and I thought, that's opposite. That's bad advice. It's saying to go that way. It had some reason, I'm sure, of why it wanted me to turn right. But the same thing, turn right, one time was good advice, one time was bad advice. And sometimes that happens to us. So context matters, the scenario matters, other information that we had around us can matter. So we'll dive into some of those. But let's lead off with, what are some recent elements or recent types of advice that you've had, good or bad?
Does the mask work?
Okay. Yeah, that's fair. Okay. Yeah, so those all kind of run a pretty wide gamut of things that matter to us. And sometimes we can get conflicting advice. A lot of times we can get conflicting advice, and then we kind of have to work through, what does this mean? So we'll go through some of these, and maybe we'll ask again at the end to see where we're giving and receiving advice. maybe a longer story that might help to show some of the insight and wisdom that somebody giving advice could have came about 20 years ago. I was loading a Saturn onto a trailer. I don't know if anybody knows what a Saturn car is. Still have one? Yeah. So most of them were made of plastic. So it was nice. You couldn't ding your doors easily. Made them super light. But that was the first car that was really, I guess, my car. And so I was hauling it out to Montana. It had lost a clutch and all that, and we were going to work on it. So I'm loading it onto the trailer, and my dad gave me two ramps. They were about 1.5 inches thick oak. They're about 8 inches wide. They're probably 8 or 9 feet long to load it up. And so I was making some notches in them so they would go on the trailer. And at some point, probably a year or two before that, I'd seen somebody loading a vehicle, and they had two ramps that were probably about 4 feet long that were boards, one going down pretty steep and then another one to get a better angle going up. I don't know. For whatever reason, I thought that's what I was supposed to do. So there I go, cutting the boards in half with a chainsaw to get them where I can stack them up to put them on there. And I'm probably about halfway through the first board when my dad says, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, I'm going to stack it up so it's strong enough." And he goes, "Oh, it's plenty strong, full length, but now I have a board that's cut in half. So I have one long one, one short one. So I have to finish up and cut them both in half." And it was plenty strong. I was able to stack them up, but it was too short. It was kind of hard to use them. And we move around a lot, and it was at least probably 8 moves that I lugged those ramps that were too short around, and they weren't super useful. And it's because I didn't ask, didn't heed the advice to leave them long. And 20 years later, earlier today, I asked ChatGPT how strong those would have been, because now I was curious if they actually would have been strong enough. And it says, leaving them the full length they were, I could have moved a car that was about 4 times as heavy as my little Saturn. Good news is, double stacking them, I could do about 10 times as much as my little Saturn. But there's all sorts of scenarios where we'll get some element of advice, and we have to decide what we're going to do with it. How are we going to heed it? Let's go to Proverbs chapter 1, and this is a verse that we've been to a few times. And if you want, you can keep your finger in Proverbs, because we're going to go other places, but we're going to keep coming back to it. Can somebody read Proverbs 1, verses 8 and 9?
"Listen, my son, to your father's instruction. Do not follow your brother's teaching. They will be a garland to grace your head, a chain to adorn your neck."
Okay. So we talked about advice involving wisdom and instruction, and we have both of those in this passage right here. Sometimes the advice that we receive can come from somebody in a formal setting. I saw Owen's poster that he had some FFA things and Star Green Hand. There's probably some other people that have been in FFA or at least know a little bit about it. One of the positions involved in Future Farmers of America is an advisor. Usually the teacher, but that somebody with advisor actually in their name. And there's a little motto, a little saying that goes with advisor. And I remember hearing my dad saying this as I was growing up, going to FFA banquets. It says, "The owl is a time-honored emblem of knowledge and wisdom. Being older than the rest of you, I am asked to advise you from time to time as the need arises. I hope that my advice will always be based on true knowledge and ripened with wisdom." And so that's a formal setting. That's somebody who's been designated to do some advising. And those are pretty straightforward. We can think of people that we go to for advice. But what are some places that we go to that maybe is less formal for advice? Internet? Yeah. Go see what Googie's got to say. Okay, your parents? ChatGPT?
Your friends, really.
Yeah, your friends. That's really, by default, where most people are going, because that's who they're spending the most time with. Your coworkers that you spend time with. Yeah, that's a wise answer. Find somebody who's actually going to give us some good advice on what we're facing.
That's the kind of way we look at it for our children. Just what your mama says, but she's got some really good advice for you.
Right? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, our parents?
Doctors, lawyers.
Yeah, all those professional
entities. Yeah, I think those are all reasonable places to go to for advice that we're going to receive.
So I would say the advice that we're supposed to give, because we're going to be giving advice at some point, we're called that it has to be advice that is in alignment with godly wisdom. And so if that's the advice that we need to be giving, that's probably the advice that we need to be looking for receiving as well. And so there are all sort of technical things that are almost kind of neutral. But there's a phrase that all truth is God's truth. So there will be elements that we get from even somebody who doesn't know God, that if it's true, there's some of God's wisdom in there. So advice that we give and we receive should be based on the wisdom of God. To be good advice, it has to have the other person's interest in mind. We can give a lot of advice that is based on elevating ourselves, making ourselves look good, just because it's something we've simplified. Maybe we have our own interest some way seeping into the advice that we're giving. But our advice definitely should have the recipient's interest in mind. It's not a time to manipulate somebody or to push something across if we're really thinking about them. It's hard sometimes, though, when somebody comes and asks you, hey, what do I do? The easy answer is think, oh, I've done this before. This is what I did. And then you can move on from there, which might be the right answer. But not always. Sometimes you actually need to stop and see what does it matter to them? I'm getting old enough that I have more people come and ask for career advice in the Air Force. And I can tell them all about my career. That's easy. But that might not be necessarily advice for them. Somebody may be facing a completely different scenario. The advice to them may be, let's do something way different than what I did, because this seems to be what you are wanting to do and things that align with your goal. All right. Sometimes you can't make people heed your advice, even if it's the right thing. There's all sorts of sayings that go with this. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make a drink. One that I like is, a person convinced against their will is of the same opinion still. So if they didn't solicit the advice, but they need it for whatever reason, if it's not well received, if timing's off, all of those things, it just may not be received at that moment. We have a couple examples of people giving advice at the wrong time. Really, the whole book of Job falls into that category. There's a couple verses that just make you chuckle. Job 21:34 says, "So how can you console me with your nonsense? Nothing is left of your answers but falsehood." Can somebody, if you're still in Proverbs, turn over to 25, verse 20. Proverbs 25, verse
20. Like one who takes away a garment in cold weather, and like vinegar on soda, is one who sings songs to an echo.
Yeah. Sometimes we know the advice. We've got a good little token bit of advice that we can give to people. But that's not the right advice for that setting. This usually happens when people are mourning or something of that nature. But it's got to be well-timed to the situation that they're in, or else it's out of time. Go back up just a little bit there in Proverbs chapter 25. Can somebody read verses 11 and 12? Absolutely. You got to have the timing right for it to be well received and for it to be as fitting as it should be. When we're given advice, sometimes, you know, people are just really good at giving advice. You have good advice givers. And the temptation can be to start to think of our advice a little more highly than we should be thinking of it. Romans chapter 12, the whole chapter really is about humility, an element of meekness as well. But it talks about whenever we are going to give any instruction, it should be done from a place of humility. So let's turn over to Romans chapter 12, and we're going to read a couple verses from this chapter. Romans chapter 12, can somebody start off reading verse 3? just verse 3. Okay. Yeah, it's tempting sometimes to think more highly of ourselves than we should. Let's jump down. You can keep reading or somebody else can read verses 14 to 16. There's absolutely an element of humility that's needed as we give advice to people. And we talked about it needing to be based in the wisdom of God. Does anybody have Proverbs 1:7 memorized? That's a good one. Yeah, that's it. So when we have a rightly appropriated fear of God, that's the beginning of knowledge or the beginning of wisdom. Second part of that says, fools despise wisdom. There will be some who don't heed advice. And that's probably a whole other lesson to talk about those in Proverbs that are called fools and mockers and scoffers. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So we certainly use our knowledge and our experience. We mentioned that as one of the elements of being able to give good advice. It's important to know what it is that you're talking about. And that can come about from experience and all of those things. There's a phrase called the Dunning-Kruger effect. That's where somebody who knows just a little bit about a subject is usually very vocal about it, more vocal than somebody that knows the subject really, really well. And so if you listen to somebody who spends a lifetime studying something, sometimes they're more, temperate in what they're saying because they know there's so many nuances to it, rather than just, absolutely, this is the way that it is. I think of a race that I was running once, and there was somebody that was running there, and it's whenever the five-finger shoes were all a fad, and everybody was wearing them. And there was an older guy just plodding along, and he passed somebody that was wearing one of the five-finger shoes and said, "What are you wearing those for?" And he started to give his whole explanation of why he was wearing them. And then the older guy said, "Well, you should look at the professionals and see how many people you see wearing the five-finger shoes as you go through it." And I don't know. I'm not an expert on that. But his point was, if you look at the people who are doing the best in that field, they're kind of gravitating towards certain things, and you have jumped on a trend that isn't in the line with those. So all that to say, sometimes it helps to look to see how things have turned out. If somebody is giving you advice on running and they know it well and they are succeeding at it, probably worth going to get that advice. If you want to get CrossFit advice, probably don't come to me. I'm not going to give you a lot of insight in CrossFit advice, but there are people here who can give you CrossFit advice because they know it. And we could think of all sorts of topics like that where we can look and see, here's somebody who really knows this that can give you some sound advice. And not only sound just advice based on experience, but if they know you and care about you, then they can give you tailored advice that's going to help you in that area. Very important to start with the other person's interest in mind. All right, so what makes for poor advice? Because there is, unfortunately, some poor advice out there. I talked about my right and right. It was the same advice. I'd say Apple gave me poor advice the second time. Yeah. Okay. Right. Absolutely. Rehoboam knows all about that. Yeah, it's important. Right.
We won't. We're compelled to answer.
Right.
Go ahead and test that theory. Ask someone.
Right. Yeah. I've got a friend, he says, kernels are interesting because they all have an opinion and they're all different on what they're saying. It's hard sometimes to say, you know, I don't know. Let's call somebody who does know about this topic. Validation, sometimes we mistake somebody who's giving us comfort and trying to build a relationship for actual advice that's going through there. So sometimes we have to kind of mentally segregate, all right, am I getting instruction here that just is general application to everybody, or am I getting advice that applies to me directly? And sometimes that line's kind of blurred, because the Proverbs, they're all general truths. They apply across the board, but you have to figure out how to apply them in a very specific situation. So if somebody says something like, you know what, married couples should have one bank account, that's like almost a proverb. That's something that we can give as advice, kind of writ large. But then when you start talking to somebody, a couple individually, that you can't just kind of leave that out there overall. You got to have that relationship, be able to see, all right, what's the logic here? And then talk through some of the reasons why it may apply or not apply. That's fine.
As you mentioned earlier, there are those who genuinely want to give you advice because they genuinely have your best interest in mind.
Right.
There are people who want to give you advice because their best interest is in mind. You also said that at the very beginning. There are people out there who want to give advice so that they can manipulate you so that they can get what they want.
Yeah. Yeah, very true. Right?
I mean, in all kinds of situations, it's not, you know, just the romantic type stuff. It's a lot of everything, whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
All you're wrong with, that's not good advice.
Right. Yeah, I think I saw a billboard once and just said, you do you. And I thought, there is a whole sermon right there that we could put up. Yeah, a lot of those little kind of platitudes that we hear, but they start to shape culture over time. We become the most important thing. And that's not new. It's not like humans had it all figured out, and then all of a sudden we said, you do you. We've always struggled with pride. It's hard for us to say, I don't know. Let's go find somebody that does know. Yeah, we struggle with pride. All right. So going back to talking about Apple telling me to turn right, if we said this was based on like vision, that idea of advice is based on somebody being able to see something that we can't see. If that's true, how is it that somebody could actually give us bad advice? So we talked about one, kind of that maybe they have the wrong interest in mind. But if it's really based on their experience and wisdom, how could it be wrong?
You don't know the whole story.
Yeah. Okay, so there may be more. You may just be getting part of the advice. Yeah, absolutely.
Based upon what I know about this person, what I think they're capable of.
was really good. It's a really good insight.
Sometimes people ask for advice, and in the asking, they tell you what the situation is, the circumstance, but they don't tell you everything. So you figure out after a while to keep asking questions to make sure that you know everything before you offer anything, because they'll, I don't know if they do it consciously or subconsciously, but they'll frame their question in such a way that your advice will be what they want.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. What was that? Yeah, confirmation, and they may be purposely withholding stuff, or they may actually have an understanding of the situation from this perspective and just not know what's going on. That's a proverb. That one person seems right until the other person brings their case. Right.
For God's words in that, or maybe the pattern of thoughts of how God would, you know, just if they could go to the Bible and show me, that would make me feel a lot more secure than just maybe, well, it happened to me once, and here's what I did. You know, and I'm sure it's a really nice person I'm talking to. You know, I trust them, but I trust them.
Yeah. Absolutely. And that's anchoring it, is you have more confidence that they're giving you godly wisdom when they're pulling it straight from God's word. Absolutely.
One method, when I have a certain issue that I'm wrestling with, I'm not sure about, the Bible tells us there's wisdom in the multitude of counsel.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to adopt that, and I'll try to get advice from several different sources, all sources that I trust, but having different strengths, different experiences, and try to see if there's any commonality.
Right. Right. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's a good point. Right.
That would require too much context. You know, but they're asking me, or they're giving, I would be thinking of it like affirmative advice. I would be thinking about this, the A, B, C, D, and E.
Right.
They're not telling me what decision to make, but they are giving me perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. These are all great points. If somebody is willing to ask you some questions, that helps you think about what it is that you're going through. It also helps them understand the situation better. So you all are great at giving good advice. So I would say just take the inverse of it when we're thinking of bad advice. If somebody doesn't ask you questions, if they're not an expert in it, they don't care about you. There's a story from Aesop. Has anybody heard of or familiar with any of Aesop's fables? Some of them are pretty gruesome. Usually somebody ends up dying or some tragedy happens in Aesop fables, but I think he did it to drive home some point. We're going to read one of Aesop's fables here. A man and his son were once going with their donkey to market. As they were walking along its side, a countryman passed them and said, "You fools, what is a donkey for but to ride upon?" So the man put the boy on the donkey and they went on their way. But soon they passed a group of men, one of whom said, "See the lazy youngster? He lets his father walk while he rides." So the man ordered his boy to get off, and he got on himself. But they hadn't gone far when they passed two women, one of whom said to the other, "Shame on that lazy lout to let his little poor son go on trudging." The man didn't know what to do, but at last he took the boy up before him on the donkey. And by this time they had come to the town, and passerbys began to jeer and point at them. The man stopped and asked what they were scoffing at. The men said, "Aren't you ashamed of yourself, overloading that poor donkey of yours, you and your hulking son?" The man and boy got off and tried to think about what to do. They thought until at last they cut down a pole, tied the donkey's feet to it, raised the pole, and put it on their shoulders. They went along amid the laughter, all of them who met them, until they came to the market bridge, when the donkey, getting one of his feet loose, kicked out and caused the boy to drop his into the pole. In the struggle, the donkey fell over the bridge, and his four feet still being tied together, he was drowned. Bonnie's eyes. He did. Sorry. It's Aesop fable. "That'll teach you," cried out an old man. And then he followed, "Please all, and you will please no one." We will get all sorts of advice. Sometimes in life we feel like the old man walking along, and everybody that we pass is telling us something different. And we don't know what to do, because they are contradictory sets of advice that we can go to. It's not an Aesop fable, but the other day at work, somebody was just telling me a humorous story. In the end, it was humorous. But he hurt his back doing yard work or whatever it was over the weekend. So he ended up going to urgent care. The first physician that he saw said, "Put heat on it and go home and rest." And he did. It didn't help anything. So he went back in and somebody said, "You got to put ice on it." And so then he went home and he put ice on it. And then by that point, he went to see his regular doctor and said, "Well, you can actually do ice and heat, and that will actually help lighten it up." So then he's thinking, "I don't know what to believe." So he started to chuckle by just the idea that he's getting conflicting advice on what to do there. And I'm not a physician. Maybe he needed all of those right at the phase that he was in. But to him, he felt like the man with the donkey here. Everyone keeps telling me something different. And if he went to Google, he probably could have got a few more answers on what to do. And so that can be hard. If we're trying to figure out what to do, we're really struggling, and we're just getting different advice all along the way. And so we mentioned before that it's based on experience and perspectives. Why could advice be wrong? I think we see it in this fable. People are coming and they're looking at the situation and making a judgment based on what they see in that instant. And they're probably doing it based on their biases, their preferences. Animals shouldn't be overloaded. Young people shouldn't be making old people walk, and vice versa. And those are all those things that somebody brought to this scenario where they gave this unsolicited advice. And so it's helpful if we can know those biases that we have whenever we're going to give somebody advice on what they should do, shouldn't do. All of those things tie into it. Let's read a couple more passages. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. So I think I'll go ahead and read verses 5 to 11 of chapter 2. "Now if anyone has caused pain, he has caused it not to me, but in some measure, not to put it too severely, to all of you. For such a one, this punishment by the majority is enough. So you should rather turn to forgive and comfort him, or he may be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. So I beg you to reaffirm your love for him. For this is why I wrote, that I might test you and know you, whether you are obedient in everything. Anyone whom you forgive, I also forgive. Indeed, what I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, has been for your sake in the presence of Christ, so that we would not be outwitted by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his designs." All the good things that we can have in this life, and I would put good advice as a good thing that we can have in this life, is something that Satan will try and distort. And so we go to Google, we go to ChatGPT, we go to other people. I think those are all an element of something that Satan can distort. In this case, it's causing disunity in the church by what's possibly happening. And Corinthians, they had a lot going on.
But one of the elements that they needed to work towards was unity. And the way they went towards unity wasn't just ignoring the problems that were out there. They had to actually address them. So there's a temptation, and this maybe falls into the you do you or follow your heart scenario, but sometimes we can be a little too reluctant to give advice. If we look at our experiences, things that we've gone through, we have made some bad choices. And we can help others learn from our bad choices so that they don't go through those, and so that we as a church family aren't weakened by allowing Satan to tempt us in things that we should already know about. And so that can be hard, to be willing to accept the advice and willing to give the advice sometimes when it's not solicited, all in an effort to help us grow in unity. To do that, we have to have a genuine care and concern for one another. And I think we do. Then we marry that up to being able to give the advice with humility. It's a little bit easier to be snarky or to be lighthearted in things. And there might be some ways that that is received well by some people, but probably fewer people than we think. And having a genuine concern for somebody and come to them with humility, that's a lot harder. But it's important. It's vital for maintaining unity in the Spirit. And humility, I think, is a little bit easier if we think of it along with meekness. Anybody want to take a stab at the difference in humility and meekness? The two words we use a lot.
One starts with an H.
There we go. Yeah, so humility, maybe we could think of it as a lowliness of mind. It's not thinking of ourselves more highly than we should. Meekness just means restrained strength. So analogy that people have used is like an oxen. They're meek. They're very, very strong. But for the most part, and when they're trained, that's a strength under control. And so when we think of somebody that's meek, it's a wrong visualization to have it like a doormat, somebody that just lets everybody walk all over them. They're very strong, but it's a restrained strength. And it comes from two things. Having faith in God's word, because then you can know, and you can, by knowing, have confidence in God's word. That gives you a strength. And then the other one is just to know whom you fear. If somebody's having a conversation, and maybe it's inappropriate, then somebody in authority walks up. Think of maybe a group of kids chatting, laughing, whatever, doing something they shouldn't be doing. Somebody in authority walks up. Most places, most time, there's an element of respect where they will stop whatever they're doing because they realize that it's wrong. They had some respect or some fear for that person in authority that walked up to them, and it changed their behavior. And so if we know that God is always watching us, is always there as a heavenly Father, and that he loves us, that gives us such confidence that we don't have to fear man. Because we will be out of alignment of one of those two at some point. Where we have to say, you know what, I really think I need to talk to so-and-so about this. Let's build a relationship with them, work towards this, and I think we can address it. And that can be hard. It's easier just to ignore it and say, you know what, I bet they'll figure it out. Google's out there. That's not a loving way to go. But if we really fear God, then we can say, you know what, I'm going to put the effort into this and try and find a way to do it in a loving manner. There's a couple passages that relate to this. And in Proverbs, there's a kind of whole section, Proverbs chapter 3, that gets at this idea of how do we have confidence when something could be scary to us. Proverbs chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 25 to 32. It says, "Do not be afraid of sudden terror or of the ruin of the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. Do not say to your neighbor, 'Go and come again. Tomorrow I will give it,' when you have it with you. Do not plan evil against your neighbor who dwells trustingly beside you. Do not contend with a man for no reason when he has done you no harm. Do not envy a man of violence, and do not choose any of his ways. For the devious person is an abomination to the Lord, but the upright are in his confidence." That middle verse there, almost middle, talks about don't withhold good when somebody comes to you needing something. And the context of this is in something they can borrow is the example that's given in the verse after. But I think it applies to advice as well. If somebody comes and says, hey, I'm getting ready to go do X, and you know that X is a bad idea, when you withhold something that can help pull them back from that brink, you're kind of going against this proverb here. There's a good that you can do in that moment, as uncomfortable as it may be, that you're holding back and saying, I'll find some way to address this later. And we don't want to do that. We need to have enough compassion and care for each other that we're going to be willing to have those hard discussions. Any other thoughts on that? I don't want to go too quick on it. It's a really small font.
No. Studying Ezekiel on Sunday morning, and God said, I'd make you a watchman over Israel. And if you don't warn those and they fall into sin, then it's going to be on your head. But if you do warn them and they go ahead and do it, then you're free, but they'll suffer consequences.
Absolutely. We have a responsibility there. And that's why it's so important to have that humility, the meekness, and the confidence that we only get from a right relationship with God. All right. And there's a lot of verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 talks about confidence. Ephesians chapter 3, I'm going to read verse 12. It says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. And so that confidence is what we can have that helps us come about in a right relationship, being able to give advice in a way that's helpful. All right, so as we think about that, why would we ever then be reluctant to give advice? What's the worst that could happen?
They could take it and they could go horribly wrong.
Yeah, it might not work out. And I don't know, maybe we are culpable in that in some way or not. It's hard to know. That's kind of a branch of 1,000 different what ifs. Yeah, what else can keep us from giving advice?
The damage of the relationship.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes it's helpful to have them repeat back what it is that you're saying. Yeah. That is, that's an aspect. So concern for the relationship. We talked about fear. Fear is something that can keep us from giving advice. I think something that's important to go ahead and say is that sometimes the opposite will actually help or happen unexpectedly. If we give somebody advice, that in a way lets them know that we care about them in a way. Sometimes we're a little too reluctant to give advice for thinking that it might damage the relationship, when in a way it actually might strengthen it. I've been surprised a few times at work where there was a tradition or a habit of kind of marking everybody over to the right on their evaluations. And then I come in and I see that you're not quite all the way over to the right. And then if you're thoughtful and give them some markings there, it's amazing how many people have come back and said, thank you. I didn't know what to work on if everyone always said that I was doing great on everything. And so we can have that relationship that grows from it. Bonnie got to teach a class of youngsters that had a young lady that was a handful. Bonnie had to give her very stern advice, I would say into the discipline realm as well, knowing that she might not actually like me after we go through all this. Opposite was true. That they developed a strong relationship, and she had a lot of respect for Bonnie after it and still runs up and gives her a hug whenever she sees her. So that it's a way of showing that we care for people as well. Not always going to turn out that way. Sometimes they're going to be much more hesitant and resistant and say, you don't know me. and not heed the advice at all. Again, we've told them we can't be responsible always for how it's received. But it's still important to give the advice. And I probably talked a little bit too much about giving advice because there's that other side. Sometimes we're the receiver. If somebody's giving you advice, think, all right, they're doing this because they probably want to help me in some way. And then maybe wait a moment, seek somebody else out to make sure that they're not just doing it in a way to manipulate it. But give them the benefit of the doubt, especially in our church family. They probably have a genuine care for you and are trying to help you out with advice that they're giving you. All right, let's go ahead and say a prayer as we finish. God, we're so humbled with the responsibility that we have to help each other grow, to give advice to one another, to receive advice in a humble manner. And pray that you'll give us wisdom as we get to interact with those that are older than us, those that are younger than us, our peers in the family here, that we can grow in unity and be strengthened, that we can be a light in a way that we shine in our workplaces, in the community, all in a way that brings you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks.
Thank you for your question.